Welcome to episode 35 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. On this week's show, I'm thinking about inspiration, where it comes from, what we can do to help ourselves get inspired, and why we should always be on the lookout for new kinds of material which will feed our photography. In line with this, I'm also taking the opportunity to remind you about how you can get involved with the forthcoming Active Photographer Jolly, which is a great chance to immerse yourself in your enthusiasm for photography and the great outdoors. So, here we go then. Welcome, one and all, to the Active Photographer, episode 35. Last week was a funny week. It was one of those where I didn't get everything achieved that I wanted to. There were lots of distractions. Not all of them were my own doing, I have to say. Some of it was technology, some of it was to do with clients. Other things were just merely down to scheduling and not enough time to do things that I had planned to do. At the end of that week, I was sat in front of the computer. This was Friday afternoon. And I was just having a look at sort of RSS feeds, web pages, blogs, that sort of thing. And I stumbled across this video on, it wasn't even on YouTube actually, it was on a website which was to do with, I believe, extreme sports, BMXing, all this sort of thing. Now, I'm not a BMXer, but I do keep an eye on certain websites for ideas and what have you. Anyway, there was this video which appeared on there. Someone had embedded it, and it was about 4.5 minutes long. And it just, I don't know, it just really resonated with me on Friday afternoon. Whether it was because it had been a tough week, whether it was because I was looking for a distraction after everything that I'd had to put up with earlier in the week, I don't know. But for something so short and simple, this 4.5 minute video, it just really got me thinking. So today, what I am kind of talking about, I suppose, is inspiration and how we get ideas. Now, this video has given me some ideas about some pictures that I might want to shoot, the approach I might take, kind of tagging on to ideas which I've already had. But it was, it just gave me something else to be thinking about. And but more important than that, it just made me think about where we get our inspiration as photographers, creatives, anyone that builds a design, a product, creates something, whether it's through photography, music, it could be sculpture, anything like that. And you know, I'm always talking to other people and saying, well, you know, what inspires you and what sort of stuff have you seen recently and what have you. And this is just the latest example of what has inspired me. So I thought what I'd do, you can tell from the the pen rattling around, I'm actually in my office again this time. What I've got in front of me is a pile of books and magazines, which kind of, I don't know, they've been set on my bookshelf for some time now, and I've been meaning to dip into them, and I don't exactly know what I would get out of them specifically. I just know that they're the sort of publications that are likely to lead to some creative ideas. I've also got a DVD here as well, which I'll talk about in a minute, but I thought I'd just share these three examples. Literally as examples. They're not specific. They're just what I happen to have on my shelf. So the first thing here I've got is a copy of Wired magazine. Now, this is a magazine which has, I think at the start of this year, came out in this country, having been out in the States. And as it says on the front cover, it's all about ideas, technology, design, and business. And it never ceases to amaze me that just the richness of what is in this magazine, from the type of articles that are in there, the graphics that are in there, the photography as well. There's some really good photographers that they use to produce the imagery. And just flicking through here, just looked at this. Again, you see it's provoked a reaction in me. I haven't actually picked up properly this magazine, this edition, to look at it yet. But there's this... this article on page 29 here, Cozy Tech for Newborns, an incubator that uses phase change waxes, saving the lives of premature babies. I haven't read the article yet, but the picture itself of this little baby wrapped up in this kind of cocoon, again, it's just a very simple picture. Now, I'm looking at this picture, and I'm the first thing I always do when I look at imagery, I start to... what's known as reverse engineer the picture. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, there are there's a single catch light in each eye, but more importantly than that, there's this quite harsh shadow that falls to the right of the baby's as you look at it. So immediately it's hit me as a striking image. It's the actual sort of incubator thing is blue. I guess it's kind of a not quite sky blue, but it's a light blue against a yellow background. So immediately those colours are really complementary and it makes it very striking. That would then make me want to read the article. But from just, and again, just flicking through this magazine, that has given me ideas, not about photographing newborns in incubators, but it's made me think about lighting. It's made me think about colour. It's made me think about design, and it's made me think about how imagery can be kept so simple. So Wired magazine, I've just flicked through a couple more pages and we're looking at a Peugeot prototype car. I guess, yeah, it's battery powered cars. So you've got all this technology. You've also got articles here. What's this? In some sort of an empty factory. I'm sort of leading through some infrastructure, something about back in the Soviet Union or something like this. Just fascinating pictures, which are documentary. There's so much colour and so much diversity within Wired magazine, and it's the same every single month. This magazine, I have it on subscription, is what's the cover price now? I think it's about £4. Most magazines tend to be around £4 these days. It actually doesn't say, because as this is a subscription, subscriber's copy, they don't actually have it on the front cover. I think it's around about £4, but I'll link to it in the show notes. Well worth a look. Incidentally, their website, Wired's website, is fantastic as well. Full of ideas. If you follow them on Twitter, you see that they link to those throughout the day, throughout the weeks. Really good. I love that magazine. I wish I made time to sit down and read it more often. I mean, I've got a stack of them, which I'm a bit behind on. So maybe that should be on my list of priorities. But then as... I mean, what I've got in front of me, we're kind of working backwards here. So we've got Wired magazine, which is sort of cutting edge. What's going on with technology and ideas and design and everything right here and now this year. I now have something that I picked up at a vintage fair, actually, a few months ago. And if you have seen my Facebook page, you will have seen that I posted a picture of the front cover. This is the November 1957 edition of Popular Mechanics magazine. Okay, and on the front is a 1958 Chevrolet. And it says here, the 1958 car parade begins. So why have I got a copy of a magazine from the 50s, which, let's face it, is kind of out of date and you know, it smells like an old magazine. What is it that inspires me about that? Because there's nothing contemporary about it. It's like with all these things, you know, this is the same thing with fashion. People get ideas from stuff that has come before them and the potential of what they can do in the future. Now, in this this magazine, I love it. It's a small format as well, which I like. A typical magazine, you imagine a normal magazine is kind of, I guess, sort of A4 size. This is, it's not quite... No, it's bigger than A5, but it's you know, sort of two-thirds the size. The illustrations from that era I just find fascinating. The little adverts that appear in the backs of these magazines and all the way through, and the photography that illustrates it. What have we got here? Modern railroading, discover this fascinating hobby. There's a guy with presumably his son with a model railway here, and it's a very typical kind of sort of photograph to illustrate a product and what have you. You skip forward a few pages and then you've got adverts for pulley gear and what's this? Now you can upholster any piece of furniture, and it's all about upholstering. I mean, this has got nothing to do with photography. These wonderful adverts, and then when you actually start to look at the photos that are in terms of main stories, there's one, for example, let's have a look here and just find one at random. There we go. All right, this will be a good one. Let's have a look here if I can find one. I'm not doing very well here. Walt Disney's Mechanical Wonderland, and it's just talking about how Disneyland created their rides and features, and it's got technical drawings, of course, so a mechanical hippo here, but again the photographs that show the mechanics of what's going on is people in action. There's another one in here, another article. I'll just finish off with this one article. Adventure on the Stillwell Road, and this is Monsoon and Jungle have swallowed up the wartime trail made famous by General Stillwell. This is the story of six English youths who year after year found a new adventure on the Stillwell Road. And it's just these guys that have taken these Land Rovers and made this expedition. And again, the photography is just documentary photography. It's, you know, think in terms of photojournalism. You've got the Land Rover sort of deep in water with someone walking towards it. The Stillwell Road sign with Land Rovers going past. If you're thinking about photojournalism or how to put together a photo story, this is brilliant because it's timeless. You know, it's there is a story that underlines it, underpins it, and it's a simple case of illustrating that story. And I just find this fascinating. And there's nothing, as I say, it's just one of these magazines. I don't read it, and I haven't ever read it cover to cover, but it's just great just to pick it up and just flick through it, and just it gives just these tiny little ideas, even if it's down to there's an article here about stacked drawer bedroom furniture. Now, I'm not going to go and design or build bedroom furniture. I don't need to. But if you were trying to get ideas to do a 1950s themed shoot, for example, and you wanted to know the styles and the type of furniture and the colours, and if you did, I suppose, need to recreate some furniture, they've got the photographs here, the how-to photographs, some illustrations, exploded diagrams that show all the measurements and the materials that you would use. It's just fantastic. It's a great little resource. And as I say, I'm not sure. I don't know if Popular Mechanics is still going, but that was, I think, £4 at a vintage fair. I reckon that was £4 well spent. So the third printed sort of magazine, was actually a book that I'm going to talk about now, is you've got Wired, which is all the latest thing. Then you're going back into the 50s with Popular Mechanics. And then this book, which I have to be very careful with because it's quite fragile. This is a first edition book printed April 1948. And it is simply Camera in London by Bill Brandt. Now, if you know your photography and you know the history of photography, Bill Brandt was a master of classic and classical photography. Harks back to the time when you had, for example, you would go onto the street to do street photography and you'd have one camera, one lens, and you were just working with the light based around the ideas that you wanted to illustrate. Now, this book has got I don't know, about sort of 9 or 10 pages of text just introducing what's going on. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was saying. I did when I read it. I was so intrigued by this book when I found it that I just read the introductory pages start to finish. And again, just a really good way to essentially you're kind of researching what you're about to look at. So as you then look through the pictures, these are just, I mean, you've got Westminster sort of with bridge and what have you, and buildings coming out of the fog and the haze shot across Waterloo Bridge here. It's just, it is classical photography, which, you know, we're so caught up with digital, with fast cameras, fast techniques, instant photography. Everything is so immediate. I think it's so important for people to step back and actually take the time to look into the history of photography, or just not even, you know, I'm not saying that you should, like a student at college or something, sit down and research. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you're going to produce work that is really fulfilling to you, and if you're doing it as a career to get the sort of imagery that your clients are going to say, wow, that's brilliant, it's so important that you keep on top of your awareness of photography, both modern day, what's cutting edge, and going back into the past. So this book about Bill Brandt, as I say, it's pretty, it's a Focal Press book, and it's actually held together down the spine by like scotch tape, and it's got on the cover, it's got a picture of Bill Brandt there. It is such a lovely book. And it's just something about it that the photography is a given. There's some wonderful photography on the plates that are here. Really keen observation. There's one here which is right in the, it's entitled "Right in the Middle of Piccadilly Circus." And there's also another one on the opposite page, just outside Piccadilly Circus. And it's obviously shot at night time, and you've got all this signage from the time on the buses, on the buildings. And like on the buildings, I guess it's neon, it has here Buchanan's black and white Scotch whiskey, and on the bus it's got Bisto for delicious gravy, you know, all these things. If you were going to do some sort of a shoot where you needed to get the details right, a book like this would inform you about lighting, it would inform you about atmosphere, props, and just how to... I mean, there's another picture here, East End Fun, it's called, and there's these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids leaning against a wall with a skipping rope, and you can't see who's holding the other end because it's off camera, but there's this girl jumping up in the air over the skipping rope. So that's just about timing, it's just about observing a picture. The shadow in itself has some resonance to it. It's just fantastic, just really solid good photography. And there's also a picture here I've just walked it's called Lambeth Walk, picture I've just skipped through, which is a very well-known picture. So again, you're seeing pictures which you may recognize from the past, and you think, oh, where have I seen that? And then that just fuels your enthusiasm, and you start looking into it more and more. And then the final thing that I've got here is actually a DVD. It's some of you might know a photographer called Drew Gardner. He's done a lot of personal work, which, as you know from stuff that I've said in the past, it's important to keep your personal work going as well as commission stuff. He brought out a DVD, when was this? I can't remember now. It's probably about 3 years ago now. 2, 3 years ago. Don't know if I've got a... is there a date on here? Nope, can't see it. It's about 2 or 3 years ago. 2009, there we go. A couple of years ago. And Location Lighting with Drew Gardner. And again, I'll link to it in the show notes. And again, it's not a technical DVD. It's not a how-to. But there are a couple of shoots that he does where he talks you through it, from driving along, and he unpacks his kit, sets up his lighting, does the shots and everything that goes with that. But he also then talks about the post-production. Now, I won't labour the point. You know, post-production, it's up to you. You do as much or as little as you want. But he does explain, if you're going to work with layers and do a bit more photoshopping, as it were, he does explain that. But again, you know, just if you're thinking about lighting on location, I've got a number of shoots coming up where I've picked up on a couple of things, a couple of pointers within that DVD, which I know I want to employ in a number of shoots that I've got coming up. So, you know, something like that, it might just sit in the back of your head for months, years even, until the right point. And then you think, oh, where did I hear about this? Or what, you know, print something out or photocopy something or what have you. It's really good to keep a folder of inspiration. I've got a folder which I think has got a load of old newspaper cuttings, just pictures which I like, which I've seen in the newspaper on a Saturday or what have you, and you think, well, I like that. I haven't got a specific idea where that sort of approach or style or whatever would come in handy, but it's worth noting. So again, I'll link to the DVD in the show notes. But you know, all these things, these three books or magazines and the DVD and the video that I saw just on the internet, which I actually posted on Friday afternoon on The Active Photographer through the blog there. I actually embedded the video as well. It's 4 minutes 27 and it's entitled Ruben Alcantara, Estilo Fluido. And it's just this guy talking about his background, shows him doing his BMX thing. It's filmed really nicely. The lighting is really good. But as I said in my post, these shots that you see in the video don't just happen. You have to scout for locations. You might be lucky. You might just find something, turn up on the day, and it's all brilliant. But seeing the shots, you know, seeing, going to a location and then seeing the shots and interpreting those locations with your lighting, your angle of view, the lens you might use, it's all so important. But the more you take in all these various forms of inspiration, then the more you're going to be well equipped for going out into the field and producing the sort of shots that you want to shoot. Now, that neatly brings me to the last thing that I want to round up on with this recording. And that's about something that I'm arranging coming up. And I've just got the information in front of me on my computer here because my brain doesn't work that quick. Those of you that follow The Active Photographer, both on Twitter and Facebook, or just going through the website, you will know that in a few weeks' time, towards the beginning of September, I'm actually running an event called the Active Photographer Jolly. Now, this is quite a simple idea, really. You know that I believe the best way to learn, as so many people believe, is to learn through doing. Now, the Jolly is an opportunity for you guys to, as I've said here, immerse yourself in your enthusiasm for photography and the great outdoors. But I can't do this without your help. So there are a few places left and it's not going to cost you anything. If you're in the UK, I mean, obviously, if you're stateside or what have you, it's probably going to cost you to come over here. But essentially, it's not going to cost you anything. It's from the 9th till the 11th of September 2011, and the location is St Leonard's in Dorset. And all you need is a digital camera, preferably a DSLR, a tent, your sleeping gear, some clothing, and most importantly, a sense of humour, because it's going to be a lot of fun. And the idea is, we're going to go camping. It's in a beautiful area, which is just in this, you know, the English countryside at its best. We're just going to have a walk around. There's lakes, there's woodland, and it's just going to give you a chance to learn how your camera produces the results you want, very simply. It's going to be a nice, relaxed weekend among like-minded, I'll call them friends, people that hopefully you'll, you know, get on very well with. But as I say, at this point, this is just a tester. Okay, so I'm not charging anything for it. As long as you can get to the site at St. Leonard's, then I want to hear from you. You will have seen the requests going out on Twitter and Facebook. And yeah, the response has been very good, but we've still got a few spaces. So, of course, I will link to the Active Photographer Jolly page in the show notes. But what I'd like is, if you're interested, send me an email, giles@theactivephotographer.com, and I'll repeat that later in this show. And yeah, I'd like to hear from you, because if I can get you on board, we've already got some really interesting people lined up that are keen to take part. And as I say, you just might learn something, and I just really, really need your feedback, because it's a new thing, and I want to know what you thought of the event, what you think could be better, what you didn't like so much about it, because that's what I'm aiming for here. It's only going to be a small number of people, sort of about 10 people thereabouts. So yeah, check out the link in the show notes. If you're interested, drop me an email, say hi on Twitter as well if you like, but ideally send me an email. And yeah, if you would like to join me on a jolly, that would be fantastic. So the point being, the Active Photographer Jolly is going to be a great place for inspiration, to be among people that share your enthusiasm for photography and the outdoors. And you're all in the same boat, same as with me. We all like learning through doing. It's going to be great. So if that's for you, give me a shout. I really hope you can come along to the Jolly. It's going to be excellent fun, but remember, places are limited, so you need to act quick. Of course, if you have any questions, just ask. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, of course, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. You can check out the Active Photographer Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at currentphotographer.com/podcast.
currentphotographer.com.
Hi there, I'm Michael Schillin, host of the Photo Creative Podcast. Join me every Monday at photocreative365.com, where I'll be sharing my thoughts and opinion on what's happening in the world of business, marketing, and social media for the photographer. There's also plenty of recommendations to help you build a better photography business.